But today I want to introduce a very, very dear friend of mine. This is Rod Carlson. He doesn't always wear a dress. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for that. But in the day that he is going to be bringing you, this was the standard dress for a guy, okay? That's how they dressed, not the standard dress. This is how they would... Clothing. This is the clothing that they would wear. That's, thank you. Somebody helped me out there with the... You know, you have to pay a lot of syntax on this job sometimes, and it's like, it's really painful. At any rate, yeah, that was a pun. Okay, I'm sorry. Rod is a great, great man of God. He's memorized more books of the Bible than some of you have read, and he just speaks it, and he doesn't have to read it to you. He's speaking it. So what we want to do is present this in the light of having the Apostle Paul come and kind of be thinking, okay, you run into him. Now, it might be in heaven, it might be here, but you run into him. You can tell it's him because he's dressed really different. And it is before AD 65, so he's still breathing, and there's some good things happening there. And he comes up, and you say, so what's the Lord saying to you, Paul? What's the message for us? And with that, I'm going to introduce my dear friend, Rod Carlson.
Well, good morning. Hey, thanks, Dan. I don't know whether just to let you get the sound technicians know, I changed microphones. I thought I had my cardioid on before, and Travis, I grabbed the wrong one, and that's why it was causing all the feedback. So, I'm sure the Apostle Paul had trouble with his wireless mics too. So, I'm just going to move these a little bit. Because otherwise, I'm going to trample on them or trip over them. Well, good morning. It's been a long time since we've seen Paul and Judy. And I got nicely surprised by finding Mike and Cynthia here, too. Mike and Cynthia Stefik were the first, Mike was the first pastor who invited us to come to Sacramento and do a presentation of Scripture when we first began, back in 2003. You wonder why I look this way? It's been 16 rugged years on the road. yeah, that's right. Ted and I were talking about our receding hairlines too, but the way I look at it, a chrome dome is a badge of honor. It really is. Well, as Ted shared, I'd like to share with you the book of Ephesians this morning, but just a couple of words of instruction. First of all, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to just leave them closed. Okay, here's why. We have done our memorization in the New Living Translation, first edition, and if you have a different translation and you're following along, I can pretty much guarantee you that in various places in there, you're going to get distracted between the difference between what you're hearing and what you're reading. And so, the purpose for us being here today is not to watch a guy in a dress try to make his way through the book of Ephesians. Can we get that one kind of out of the way? We're here to hear from the Lord. Jenny keeps saying, when you're listening to the Word of God, it shouldn't be a real stretch to expect that you could hear His voice. So we want to just keep our antenna up, if you will, and just listen. When he whispers something to you, or he might just jab you in Ephesians. There's a couple of places there. But if you have a piece of paper and a pen, go ahead and jot something down. If you got a smartphone, go ahead and make a quick note on your smartphone. I'm just asking you, just if you got a smartphone, don't follow along on your smartphone. And let's just listen to the Word. And this is going to be about 33 minutes of Scripture. And so just kind of, you don't have to look at me. You can close your eyes. Just don't snore. But just listen for what God is whispering in your ear this morning. Is that a deal? That's a deal. I don't think there's anything. Jenny has this list of things she does, you know, but I usually forget half of them. But so, this letter is from Paul. Pardon me. Chosen to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to all of God's holy people who live in Ephesus who are faithful followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be yours. Sent from God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. The how we praise God. Our glorious Father who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we belong to Christ. Now, long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself by means of Jesus Christ. And this gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the wonderful kindness he has poured out on us because, well, we belong to his dearly loved Son. He is so rich in kindness that he purchased our freedom through the blood of his Son, and our sins are forgiven. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God's mysterious plan has now been revealed to us. It is a plan centered on Christ, designed long ago according to his good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, God will bring all things together under the authority of Christ. And furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us from the beginning. And all things happened just as he decided long ago. Now, God's purpose was that we who were the first to trust in Christ should praise our glorious God. And you've done a good job of that this morning. That's not in there. Praise our glorious God. And you also have heard the truth. The good news that God saves us. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us all that he has promised and that he has purchased us to be his very own people. This is just one more reason to praise our glorious God. Well, ever since I first heard about your strong faith in Christ and your love for Christians everywhere, I have never stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you may grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the wonderful future God has promised to those he called. I want you to realize what a rich and glorious inheritance God has given to his people. And I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else in this world or in the world to come. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ, and he gave him this authority for the benefit of the church. See, the church is his body. It is filled by Christ, who fills everything, everywhere with his presence. Well, once you were dead, doomed forever because of your many sins. You used to live just like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. And we all used to live that way, following the desires and passions of our old evil nature. We were born with an evil nature, and we're under God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy. And he loves us so very much that even when we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's special favor that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ. And now we are seated with him in the heavenly realms, all because We belong to Christ Jesus, and God can always point at us as examples of the incredible wealth of his favor and kindness toward us as all he has shown in all he has done for us in Christ Jesus. Now, when you believed, God saved you by his grace, his special favor. And you can't take any credit for that. See? It's a gift from God. See, salvation is not a reward for all of the good things we've done. So none of us can boast about this. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do those good things he planned for us long ago. And don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders by birth. You were called the uncircumcised ones by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you lived apart from Christ. You were excluded from God's people, Israel, and did not know the promises God had made to them. You were living in this world without God and without hope. But now, you belong to Christ. Though you were once far away from God, now you have been brought near to him because of the blood of Jesus Christ. For Christ himself has made peace between us Jews and you Gentiles by making us all one people. He has broken down the wall of hostility that used to separate us, and by his death, he ended the whole system of Jewish law that excluded the Gentiles. Now, his purpose was to create in himself one new person from the two groups. Now, together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death. And our hostility toward each other was put to death. He's brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from God and to us Jews who were near. Now, all of us, both Jews and Gentiles, may come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ Jesus has done. So now you're no longer foreigners and strangers. You are citizens all along with all of God's children. You're members of God's family. We are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We who believe are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord, and through him, you Gentiles also are joined together as part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Oh, I, Paul, am a prisoner of Christ Jesus because of my preaching to you Gentiles. As you already know, God has given me this special ministry of announcing his favor to you Gentiles, and as I mentioned briefly earlier in this letter, God himself revealed the mystery of his plan. As you read what I've written, you will understand what I know about this plan regarding Christ. God has not revealed this to previous generations, but now he has revealed it through the Holy Spirit to his apostles and prophets. And this is his plan. Listen, the Gentiles have an equal share with the Jews in all of the riches inherited by God's children. See, both groups have believed the good news, and both groups are part of the same body and together enjoy the promise of blessings through Christ Jesus. By God's special favor and mighty power, I've been given the wonderful privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Just think, though I did nothing to deserve it, and though I am the least deserving Christian there is, I was chosen for this special joy of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this plan that God, the creator of everything, kept secret from the beginning. Now, God's plan was to show his wisdom in all of its rich variety to all of the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. They will see this when they see Jews and Gentiles joined together in his church. This was his plan from all eternity. And now it has been carried out through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come fearlessly into God's presence, assured of his glad welcome. So please do not despair about what they're doing to me here. It's actually for you that I'm suffering. So you should feel honored and encouraged. Oh, when I think about the wisdom and the scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he would give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. I pray that Christ would be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you have the power to understand, as all of God's people should, how long and wide and high and deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ. Even though it's so great you'll never fully understand it, then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now glory be to God. But by his mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or even hope. Oh, may he be given glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Forever and ever, through endless ages. Amen. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, because you have been called by God. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because you love each other that much. Always keep yourselves united in the Holy Spirit and bind yourselves together with peace. See, we are all one body. We have the same Spirit. We've all been called to the same glorious future. There is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and there's only one God and Father who is over us all and in us all and living through us all. However, he has given to each of us a special gift according to the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and he gave gifts to his people. Notice it says he ascended. What this means is that Christ first came to this lowly world in which we live. The same one who came down is the one who has ascended higher than all of the heavens, so that his rule might fill the entire universe. See, he's the one who has given these gifts to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Now, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ, until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature and full-grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. See, then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our mind about what we believe because someone said something different. Or because someone cleverly lied to us, making the lie sound like the truth. Instead, we will hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Now, with the Lord's authority, let me say this. Live no longer as the ungodly do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their closed minds are full of darkness. And they are far away from the life of God. For they have shut their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They don't care anymore about right and wrong. And they have given themselves over to immoral ways. Their lives are filled with all kinds of impurity and greed. But that is not what you were taught when you learned about Christ. Since you have heard all about Him and you've learned the truth that is in Jesus, throw off your old evil nature and former way of life, rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. Now, instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and your attitudes. You must display a new nature because you are a new person, created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, true. So, put away all falsehood and tell each other the truth, because we belong to each other. And do not sin by allowing any anger to gain control of you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. Now, if you are a thief, I love the simplicity of this. If you're a thief, stop stealing. Begin to use your hands for honest work and then give generously to those who are in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He is the one who identified you as His own, assuring you that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to each other. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ Jesus, has forgiven you. Follow God's example in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life full of love for others, following the example of Christ. My mind just went blank there for a moment. So I'm going to check the book. Here's an interesting thing about what we do. We always want to do a good job. But even if something like this happens, we have found it does not diminish the power of the word one iota. In fact, somebody once came to us afterward and said, "I'm glad you messed up, because it gives me hope." He says, "If you can do that, I can do that." So. Yes. Yes. Live a life filled with love for others, following the example of Christ, who loved you and gave Himself as a sacrifice to take away your sin. And God was pleased, because that sacrifice was like a sweet-smelling perfume to Him. Oh. Let there be no sexual immorality or impurity or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is really an idolater who worships the things of this world. So don't be fooled by those who would try to excuse these sins, for the terrible anger of God comes upon all those who refuse to obey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For though your hearts were once full of darkness, now they are full of light from the Lord. And your behavior should show this. For the light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, rebuke and expose them. You know, it's shameful even to speak of the things that ungodly people do in secret. But when the light shines on them, it becomes clear how evil these things really are. And where your light shines, it will expose their evil deeds. That's why it said, "Wake up, sleeper! Rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." So be careful how you live. Not as fools, but those who are wise. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't get drunk with wine, because that'll ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Then you will sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making music into your heart to the Lord. And you'll always give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and furthermore, you will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Your wives will submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, just as Christ is the head of his body, the church. He gave his life to be her Savior. So just as the church submits to Christ, so you wives must submit to your husbands in everything. And you husbands must love your wives with the same manner Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by baptism and God's word. Now, he did this. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious bride without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, you husbands must love your wives as you love your own bodies. No one hates his own body. He lovingly cares for it, just as Christ cares for his body, the church. And we are his body. Now, the scriptures say a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two become one. Great mystery. But it is also an illustration of how Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now, children, are you the only one? Oh boy, you're going to get the whole wagon load now. And this is what Ephesians 6 says. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord and it's the right thing to do. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first of the Ten Commandments that comes with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, you will live a long life filled with blessing. Now, a word to you fathers. Do not make your children angry by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction approved by the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Work hard, but not just to make your masters happy while they're watching. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Now, work with enthusiasm, as though you were working for the Lord and not for people. Remember, the Lord will reward each one of us according to what we do. In the same way, you masters must treat your slaves right. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. Now, a final word. Be strong in the Lord's mighty power. Put on every one of God's pieces of armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all of the strategies and tricks of the devil. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against those evil rulers of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realm. So use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in this evil time, so that after the battle, you will still be standing strong. Putting on the sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the readiness to preach the good news of peace with God. Now, in every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop all of the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. And put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words as I boldly proclaim that the good news is for the Gentiles too. I'm in chains now for preaching this message as God's ambassador. But pray for me that I will keep on speaking boldly as I should. Now, Tychicus, a much-loved brother and a faithful helper in the Lord's work, will tell you how I'm getting along. I'm sending him to you for that very purpose. He'll let you know how we are, and he will encourage you. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, may God give you peace and faith with love from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. May God's grace be upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Let's pray. Well, as we have often admitted, Lord, this is your word, not ours. It's your power, it's not ours. It's your anointing, it's not our anointing. And so we just place in your hands we recognize that it's in your hands, that you will do the work in the room here with these good people, and that you will bring about by the Holy Spirit, the hound of heaven, whether it's a probing conviction, an encouragement, uplift. That's what you are to that's what you do in the power of your word. So, Father, would you just work in this room at this moment? Now, we ask this question everywhere we go, and that is, if you have not previously ask Christ to become the Lord of your life. First of all, your Savior, and then Lord. And there's an important difference. The Savior came to save you from the darkness, from the sin of your life. Came to save you from yourself, and your selfish efforts to run your own life, and maybe you've been doing that and you've just been doing a lousy job of it. I don't know. But today's your day to get right with God. We ask this everywhere we go. So we would not embarrass anybody for the world, but this is a terribly important decision. It's also the best deal in Nevada today. But if today's your day to get right with God and just let him have the sin of your life and ask him to become the Lord of your life, who then leads you, gives you footsteps to follow, draws you into himself. If that's you today, would you raise your hand? Anybody? Anybody? We're not gonna drag this out. Thanks, brother. Anybody else? Okay, let's just pray for a moment, and I'll just kind of refer this to my brother who raised his hand here. That just make this kind of your prayer to God. Just make it your prayer, sincere prayer. Well, okay, Lord, thank you for the word that pierced my heart. The rest of you could pray it too. I mean, Lord, thank you for the word, your word that pierced my heart. Thank you for demonstrating your grace and your love, your compassion, your passion for us. And I want to get right with you today by asking you to cleanse my heart, that the blood you shed on the cross, as we heard today, the blood you shed is the only cleansing agent for sin. And so I want you, Lord, to make me clean. Jesus, adopt me into your family, as we heard. Make me one of your kids. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for your redeeming grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yeah. You know, when you think about it, when someone comes to Christ, it's not really a solemn moment. Do you get me? Because there's a party going on in heaven. Right? So we might as well get in on the action. You know? So, but some of us have been raised in traditions that it's so desperately solemn. But it's not solemn. It's a point of rejoicing. We ought to do as a church anything possible to remove any sense of embarrassment or hesitation as we invite people to come to Jesus. So, yeah, we gotta learn how to celebrate better. You know, yahoo! That's Wyoming. So, for how many of you is this the first time you've seen a guy in a dress quote scripture? Okay. Some of you, it's been so long you forgot. Well, we didn't come because I like wearing a dress. We some years ago, back in about 2000, a friend of ours. Now, some of you know Jerry and Marie. Okay, they live in Atlanta now. Do you stay in touch with them at all? They're doing pretty well. They're back there with their family. But Jerry and Marie, who were pastors in Wyoming as well, came to our church, the little church we pastored, and did the book of 1 Peter, and then challenged us to embrace the discipline of memorizing Scripture. And I was standing at the back of the church, which was only four rows back, so about where you guys are sitting. You know, we had a huge church. And both people really enjoyed my preaching, you know. And I was thinking this, as Jerry was challenging our little congregation, I was thinking, boy, this would be a great idea for all you guys to do. Yeah, well, you know, it's in Sermon on the Mount where God is the one who, it's not in Sermon on the Mount. It's in Scripture somewhere, it says that God is the one who searches out the deepest, this revelation, the hearts and thoughts of every, and intentions of every person. And he saw that, well, we're heading home. Everybody else who raised their hand got a challenge to do 8 verses in a row, okay? When we were heading home for lunch, Jerry noticed I was doing my little selfish thing at the back, and he says, Rod, you need to be doing this. This is life-changing stuff. Well, what are you going to do? We were about this far away from each other, you know, in the Jeep. Well, I could get out now and escape, or I could. I thought I was going to go for the 8-verse deal and said, well, I've always liked Philippians. And he says, okay, I'll hold you to it. I was either rude or God, and I chose the latter. And so I began memorizing. And it's just been a discipline that we embraced. Neither Jenny nor I thought we could memorize Scripture. Almost everybody we meet who sets a course to become a hider of God's Word and develop a reservoir of Scripture memorized, almost none of them think they can do it. But God, they have heard, call them and say, come on, let's get this done. Let's start. Make a start. By the way, God's not in a hurry. When I memorized Philippians, it was a half a verse at a time because I couldn't get this thing to absorb anymore. And so it took almost a year to memorize. It's got 105 verses. So by the time, I set it aside for about 3 or 4 months because I was only working 5 jobs at that time, Ted. And so things got busy. And then I remembered about the beginning of January, Jerry's coming back. I better get on the stick here. And so I almost had it memorized when he got back. We were in Midlothian, Texas, 1 year and did a presentation at a little 4-square church there called Overcomers Fellowship. And 2 years later, they invited us to come back. And there was a gal who, she was about 72 years old, I suppose, 70, 72. And she had said, first time we were there, yep, I want to memorize. I want to memorize that. And it was 8 verses. And then the next time I came back, she said, well, I can memorize. I've discovered I can memorize. But if I go back to try and do it a month or a month and a half later, I can't. And I said, well, what makes you so special? I can't either. I can't either. A friend of mine who's a diligent student of the Word once told me that Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, has an inference in that verse that it is your ear hearing your mouth speaking the Word of God that builds your faith. Now, Jenny and I can attest to that. That's exactly what has happened in our lives. And so we're here to challenge you to embrace a discipline that you probably don't think you can do. But we're going to challenge you to just start. Make a start. And maybe you'll pick Philippians, Colossians. Of course, you could do Jude or Philemon or 3 John or Obadiah. No, don't do Obadiah. God's really ticked off in Obadiah. I memorized it once, but just do it slowly and digest it. We actually find that people who try to, and including myself, try to memorize too much at once, it doesn't stick as well as just a bit at a time. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And that's a great way to approach Scripture. Now, here's another method that we came across this past year. we have some friends that pastor the 4-Square Church in East Helena, Montana, and we were in Washington State or something. I was trying to line up some services for later in the year, and I called Jeff, and he said, yes, Colleen and I want you to come. I said, well, what would you like? He said, Galatians. I said, Jeff, we got a problem. We don't have Galatians. What else would you like? Galatians. That's what he wanted. So I said, okay, Jeff, I'll go talk to Jenny, talk to her. We decided that we would divide and conquer, and we took 2 tacks. I was going to memorize chapter 1 through 4. Jenny was going to memorize the last 2 chapters, and she keeps bragging that she's got the really good chapters. But anyway, so I called Jeff back, and I said, okay, we're willing to take this as a challenge. We only had 7 weeks to memorize it and get it ready, and that is the shortest period of time we've ever tried to do anything. Multi-chapter stuff, but we said we'll tackle this. So we read every morning aloud to each other from Scripture, and we go through Scripture and finish, start again. So during June, that was the last week of May, beginning on June 1st, we decided that we would read aloud the book of Galatians every day for 30 days. We actually set aside the other reading we were doing, and we would read aloud. And it took about 35 minutes to do that. I would read the first four chapters. Jenny would read the second of the last two. I called Jeff and said, okay, we're going to tackle this. He says, I'll help. You do chapters 1 through 3. I'll memorize 4. And then Jenny can do 5 and 6. I said, deal. So about a week before we were to be there, I called Jeff and I said, hey, Jeffo, how's that chapter 4 coming? He said, terrible. I said, what's the matter with it? He says, that New Living Translation you use makes way too much sense. Well, he's a pastor, so every time God poked him with something, he'd start writing a sermon. You know, so he was sermonizing his way through chapter 4. As it turned out, it was that discipline of reading through every day. We had the book, I had the first 4 chapters memorized, Jenny her 2 chapters, by June 20th. It is the most, if you want to call it, powerful or effective tool for memorizing Scripture, is to read aloud every day for at least 21 days. So we're going to challenge you to go find a chapter, just a chapter. I'm not challenging you to do a book. Now, if you do 3 John, Jude, Obadiah, Obi, or Philemon, then you got 1 chapter and a whole book. Then you can brag and brag and brag, and then God will deal with your pride. But just take that, and before you start to memorize, just read it through aloud once a day. Just get in a quiet place, sit down with a cup of coffee, and read through. It doesn't matter which translation you use. Just read through. Thanks, Mike, Cynthia. See ya, brother. He has to leave. The rest of you don't. try that. Because by the time you've finished reading it through 21 times in 21 days, you will know that chapter. You will know the content of it. You'll know the layout of it. And then start memorizing. And I tell you what, the first 2 chapters, it was right at the beginning of the memorization, of course, but I found them unique because Paul has this tendency to say something. And then he decides, maybe I should repeat myself, but I'm going to repeat it in a different way, you know. And then, beginning in the next chapter, he said, man, maybe they didn't quite get that. And so he says the same thing over and over. So I'm trying to sort these out. It's like Revelation 18. It's just, ooh. But once I got through the first 2 chapters, 3 and 4 flowed. I'll bet I memorized both of those in no more than 2 weeks, but it was like a week I got that one, those 2 memorized. Jenny found it, and she got hers memorized. We did a presentation of the book of Galatians together on June 20th in my hometown in British Columbia. That was like 3.5 weeks. It is a powerful tool. And I love envisioning, we call it hiding, becoming a hider of the word, but the image is building this this living reservoir within that no one can take away. No one can take that away. Now the second powerful tool is, and it's really the silver bullet to memorization, it's reviewing. It's repeating it as you're learning it and memorizing it, just making sure you review that every day. And maybe multiple times a day. You know, if you've got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses, it's easy to do that just in a couple of minutes. As you get more and more Scripture memorized, yes, it takes a little bit longer, but guess what? You don't care because you're starting to hear the Word of God and see, and just because you're speaking it, you're hearing the Word of God in a different way, perhaps, than you've ever heard before. I grew up at the church. I was in church 9 months before I was born because my mother was there all the time. I got saved when I was 6 years old. I came to Christ when I was 6 years old. We have never done anything, Jenny nor I, that has had the impact on our lives, our walk with the Lord, like memorizing the Word of God. Whether or not, I mean, he changed our lives pretty dramatically. We have lived in a motorhome for 16 years. We do not have a home now. We don't have a, you know, a place we go and say, ah, home. Our home is the nearest Walmart parking lot, which is about the way it has been for a long time. Mama's about ready for a house. God changed our lives pretty dramatically, and I wear a dress every Sunday too, so, which is very different. Always have people in California say, well, why don't you just come to the restaurant for lunch dressed that way? I say, well, I can probably get away with it in California, but they shoot people like that in Wyoming. Ooh, hunting season. There are too many rifles in the rifle rack in the back window of the pickup trucks. So God has certainly done a unique thing with Jenny and me, but the only difference is we are challenging you to embrace this discipline and start to see the same kinds of incredibly encouraging things begin to happen in your life that have happened in ours. We have lived for all of our lives under the amazing grace of God, and we get to enjoy that. We've had a pretty easy run in America. But it's when you enter into the intentional decisions that lead to work that we start to find somebody, Larry Lee, when he was doing that, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? One of the kind of the bumper stickers in that was, you must press through the duty of prayer to experience the delight of prayer. And many of us haven't learned how to press through the duty of prayer to get to the delight. It's the same way with Scripture. You know, these disciplines God invites us to are not just to make us miserable on a regular basis. They are to lead us to, it's like, what was it in the Old Testament? After all the time in Egypt and in the 40 years in the desert, in the wilderness, what God had to teach them how to fight. And so there were obstacles in the way to teach them endurance, discipline. And sometimes I think God puts things in our way, and it might be this morning that God's saying, I want you to become a hider of the word. I want you to do your best to do this and get some of my word hidden within you that is there for good. Okay, I'll be quiet now. But here's the challenge. Go find a chapter, one chapter, and in the next 3 months, do your best to memorize it. Maybe for the first month, just read it through once a day, aloud, out loud. Maybe hubby and wife with the kids, you can read aloud together and give everybody a chance to read what they're memorizing and see what God will do about implanting that into your life, and it takes a little discipline on your part. So how many want to join the adventure of discovering the heart of God? Ready, 1, 2, 3, hands in the air. Here we go. Hallelujah, I think my work is done here, Ted. Please come rescue these people because I still have a microphone. And as long as it's on, I'll talk.
Let's hear it for Rod.
Hello, hello. Wow. Snuck it on to me. Ron, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. Thanks, absolutely. Buddy.
He's a great, great man. Great friend. And he's a lot of fun. You know, if you ever get a chance, just hang out with Rod. He's just amazing. But we want to do something special for him this morning. And it's kind of funny. We were talking about how you travel. And, you know, whenever I travel, I use this credit card. And some people don't like credit cards, but I use a credit card because, you know, it's a lot better than hauling cash around. But I found out that if I leave town and don't tell them that I'm using it, they'll turn it off, and I can't use it. And it's really kind of a drag when you're, you know, in some town 2,000 miles away from where you're thinking and you can't use it. And then there's the thing where somebody takes your card number and renders your card invalid. That's what happened to Rod. So he gets here last night and tries to pay for the hotel reservation. I made the reservation, but there's, you know, how you put a credit card and they open it up for, you know, I mean, why you'd want to use their phone, I don't know. But, you know, they do that. And they said, sorry, but your credit card doesn't work. I want you to understand something, that when he's talking about trials and things that go on and makes you tougher, he's still experiencing that. And for some of us, we think, you know, if you're in the ministry, if you're a pastor, things have gotten a lot better for you because, you know, God's on your side. He's not going to let things happen to you. That's not true. That's not true. And it's not true for a couple of reasons. Number one, we don't want to get killed. And everybody would be mad at us. And they'd all be looking to take us out. But the other thing is, we need to be strong. Everyone. And you say, well, yeah, that's fine for you, pastor guys. No, like we've talked about before, we're all ministers. And that's why when Ron is talking about hiding the scripture in our heart, that's not just because you want to, as we tease, say, you know, wear a dress on Sunday. We're just teasing. Can we stop teasing? Hearing the word of God by someone who's dressed in period garb is very, very powerful. But I can tell you, if you quote scripture in your day-to-day conversation but don't attach the chapter and the verse, it changes lives. I can tell you that. I've done that. And you can do it too. You don't have to have a whole lot of scripture. And what he's talking about is one chapter. That's really not much. It's a pretty good-sized book. So this morning, what we want to do is we want to bless Ron. We want to take up a special offering just for him, for Living Logos Ministry, for Rod. And I want you to be able to enter into this in such a way that you understand that we're blessing the man of God. And as we bless them, they can go more places and share the word of God. One of the things I really love about Rod's ministry is that it's the word of God. He gave much less interpretation than I ever do. And I just really appreciate that. He's talking and he's giving the word of God. How many of you were touched by something you heard this morning? You know, like between the eyeballs, you know, that type of thing. Whoa, gee, I didn't know it said that. Some of you would know that I actually use Ephesians in premarital counseling, and I require the folks going through premarital counseling to read it 5 times. That sounds really weird until you consider that I don't say read it the same way every 5 times. You know, first time, 35,000-foot view, go as fast as you can, get through it. But by the time you get through the 5th time, what is God saying to you? And it just starts changing your heart and your life, which is really important when you're dealing with couples. And they're starting off their marriages. It's really nice to go, you know what? You don't answer to each other as much as you answer to God, and he's got something to say. That's really important. So if the ushers would come forward, I'd like you guys to be able to help us out here. And if you're writing a check, you can make it out to the Cornerstone. We'll make sure every bit of that gets to Rod. If you're giving cash, that's okay, and you can probably use that today. And if you have cash, you want to write a check too, that's okay too. Let's pray. Lord God, we ask for your blessing on Rod, on Jenny, on their ministry. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you for speaking to us this day. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Rod's going to bless us with a song.